Take your Bibles, if you have them tonight, Daniel chapter 9. Daniel chapter 9, we started Daniel chapter 9 a couple weeks ago, and I appreciate Adam filling in for me last week and all those that took different roles in Awana, because he did. But if you remember, I'll just remind you of a couple things from a couple weeks ago. This chapter was written in the first year of Darius the Mede. And I mentioned a couple weeks ago that was basically the same year as the third year of Belshazzar in chapter 8. You remember Belshazzar was the Babylonian king who saw the handwriting on the wall. And the message was you have been weighed in the balances, you've been found wanting, and your kingdom will be destroyed this very night. And that very night, Darius led the Medes in and overthrew the Babylonians. And so the first year of Darius and the third year of Belshazzar was the same year. And so in that first year of Darius, Daniel was reading in the book of Jeremiah. And the Bible says that he understood as he was reading there that God would accomplish desolation of Jerusalem in 70 years. In other words, God would take 70 years to punish Israel for their sins. And so when Daniel reads that, and Daniel probably knew better than most when that 70 years started, because when the 70 years started, he was carried away captive from Jerusalem by the Babylonians. And so he's an older man now. He sees that the 70 years are about to come to an end, okay? You remember he served Nebuchadnezzar, and he served his grandson as an advisor. Now he's serving the Medes and the Persians. And so he realizes, as he's reading the book of Jeremiah, hey, I know when the punishment started, because I was carried away captive from home. I know the 70 years are almost up. And yet, Daniel, here's what he thought. He says, God's given me visions about the future. And I know that after the Medes and the Persians are going to come the Greeks, and then the Romans. Again, we talked about the visions that he had, that Nebuchadnezzar had, and that Daniel had, about the, first of all, the statues that Nebuchadnezzar saw, and then the beast that Daniel saw in his vision, and how God revealed to him how each of those metals in the statue and each of the animals that Daniel saw represented a kingdom. And Daniel knew that only the second kingdom was in place, the Medes and the Persians. I mean, the Greeks hadn't come on the scene yet, and the Romans hadn't come on the scene yet. And so Daniel began to think, said, well, God, what does all this mean? If Israel's only going to be punished for 70 years, the 70 years are about up, and yet you've let me see in visions that after the Persians, the Greeks are going to have a world empire, and after the Greeks, the Romans. How does this all fit together? How can it be? Daniel was under the impression that when the 70 years of punishment was up, that the Messiah was going to come, and the kingdom of, or the nation of Israel was going to be restored, and somebody was going to sit on David's throne, as God made a promise to David that his kingdom would be restored. And so Daniel was trying to put together what Jeremiah said about the 70 years of punishment, and the fact that he knew there was more world kingdoms to come that were in existence. And so he began to pray. And we talked about this a couple weeks ago. He began to pray for understanding. As he prayed, he confessed his sins. He confessed the sins of the nation of Israel. And he asked God to help him understand and put this all together. Now again, it's not part of the Bible study tonight, but he serves as a good example for us. When we read the Bible, we ought to ask God to help us understand it. I mean, it's one thing to think about it and to study it and try to figure it out on our own, but we ought to ask the Holy Spirit to say, Holy Spirit, help me understand this. Help me see how it all fits together. The Holy Spirit was the one that told men what to write that we have in our Bible. Who better than him to help us understand what it means? And again, it's a good thing to study and to try to figure it out on our own. But if we're not asking the Holy Spirit's help, we're not using one of the tools, we're not using one of the resources that God has given us to understand his word. He wants us to understand it. Again, when we get saved, he just doesn't crack open the top of our head and pour everything in. Sometimes I wish it worked that way, but it doesn't. We have to study. We have to read. And again, we need to ask the Holy Spirit to help us understand it. So Daniel prays, Lord, help me understand. Help me understand. You've given me these visions. I've read in Jeremiah about the 70 years. So help me understand how it all fits together. And we talked about it a couple weeks ago. While he was still praying, the angel Gabriel came. Now, Daniel had seen Gabriel before. In chapter 8, in the visions of the different beast, okay, which represented in chapter 8, where he got the vision of the ram and the he-goat, and we talked about that a few weeks ago. The ram represented the Medes and the Persians, and the he-goat represented the Grecians, Alexander the Great. When Daniel had that vision, okay, about the middle two kingdoms, again, Gabriel came to help him understand what that vision meant. So Daniel was praying, Lord, help me understand. I've been reading Jeremiah. I've had these visions. Help me understand how they all together. While he was still praying, Gabriel came and touched him about the time of the evening sacrifice. You remember we talked about it only takes about in the Hebrew or the Aramaic to read Daniel's prayer. It only takes about 3 minutes. And so Gabriel made the trip from heaven to earth to get close to Daniel so he could explain this to him in 3 minutes or less. He probably got started before Daniel started praying, but the trip was fast. And so Gabriel said to Daniel, I am come to give thee skill and understanding. When you started to pray, I was sent. Thou art greatly beloved in heaven. And again, what a testimony for an angel to tell a man, hey, Daniel, you are greatly beloved in heaven. And again, you think about Daniel's life, how he stood for God without compromise, prayed 3 times a day. We can probably pick up some things from his life that if we want heaven to say, hey, you're greatly beloved in heaven, we probably ought to do some of those same things if we want, you know, God to say that about us. But Gabriel said, and I was thinking about this, I can just imagine, and I don't know if it works this way, but, you know, I try to figure out things in my mind. How could Gabriel tell Daniel, you're greatly beloved in heaven? God talked about him. You know, he talked to Satan about Job. You know, he said, hey, have you considered my servant Job? There's nobody that loves me more and hates evil more than Job. I can just picture in heaven God talking to the angels. Hey, look out there at Daniel. Look at him. Just look at him. Taken from his home as a teenager, refused to eat the king's meat, prayed 3 times a day, even when it was against the law, got him thrown in the lion's den. I love that guy. I love that guy. And so when Gabriel comes down, I don't think God gave him the message, hey, you go down and tell Daniel I love him. I think Gabriel already knew that. So he came down, hey, Daniel, God sent me. Hey, I want you to know, it's not part of the message, but God loves you. You're greatly beloved in heaven. And by the way, he sent me to help you understand how to put all this together. So we're going to start in verse 24 tonight, and we're going to end in verse 24 tonight. We're only going to get through one verse. I thought maybe we'd get through the end of the chapter, but we're not. So here's what verse 24 says. 70 weeks are determined upon thy people and upon thy holy city to finish the transgression and to make an end of sins, and to make reconciliation for iniquity, and to bring in everlasting righteousness, and to seal up the vision and prophecy, and to anoint the most holy. Okay, 70 weeks. 70 weeks. And again, Daniel had been reading about that in the book of Jeremiah. The Hebrew word for seven is shabula. Shabula. And it's a unit of measure. Okay? It's a word like dozen, OK? Okay? So when you just use the word dozen, you don't know what it means. I mean, you can have a dozen bananas, you can have a dozen eggs. So in order to understand what the unit of measure means, you got to look at the context, okay? So seven is a unit of measure. You got to look at the context to determine the meaning. Weeks is a unit, it can be a unit of days or years, okay? A week can be 7 days. A week in Scripture can also be 7 years, okay? Now, in the context of Jeremiah, it's 7 years, okay? So Daniel had been reading in Jeremiah, and the punishment that came to the Jews of 70 years was because they did not keep the seventh year of Sabbath, okay? Every 7 years, the land was supposed to have a Sabbath. They weren't to plant anything that seventh year. In the sixth year, God would give them enough for the seventh year and enough to last through the eighth year until the harvest in the eighth year come. But the Jews didn't do that. They missed 70 Sabbaths, okay? So in punishment, God gave them 70 weeks, or 70 times 7, okay? Or 490 years that Daniel is talking about when he, or that Jeremiah was talking about when he says 70 weeks are determined. Now the punishment for the Babylonian captivity and the Medes and the captivity before they were going to go home was 70 years, okay? Years. But in Jeremiah, and as Gabriel is explaining this to Daniel, he's talking about 70 weeks. So he's talking about 490 years. Now again, keep in mind what Daniel asked for. 70 years of punishment is almost up, but there's two more kingdoms to come, and the Medes and the Persians are just started. How's this all fit together? And so Gabriel says, okay, now listen, the 70 weeks are 70 weeks of 7 years. So it's 490 years. In 2 Chronicles, the Bible says, to fulfill the word of the Lord by the mouth of Jeremiah until the land had enjoyed her Sabbaths. So God was saying, hey, there's going to be 490 years because we've got to make up for all the Sabbaths that you got. And again, the Sabbath was the seventh year when nothing was to be planted. We've got to make up for all the Sabbaths that you did not keep. For as long as she lay desolate, she kept Sabbath to fulfill 70 years. Okay, so again, Daniel's starting to get it now, I think. Say, okay, so it's the 490 years, the first 70 years is the punishment, but there's 420 more to come after that. Because again, he thought that at the end of 70 years, the Jews were going to return to the land, which they did. The Messiah was going to come, which he didn't. The kingdom was going to be restored to David, which it was sort of, but not in the same glory that David and Solomon had. And so again, he's trying to put it all together. So the 490 years in answer to Daniel's prayer said, okay, the kingdom's not going to come back immediately, and the 70 weeks of years got to run their course. So the whole 490 years has got to run its course, and that 490 years is going to fit into the time of the Gentiles. In other words, the Medes and the Persians are going to run their course, the Greeks are going to come and run their course, and the Romans are going to come and run their course. In fact, that word determined, 70 weeks are determined, that word determined means cutting off. And so the weeks are the 70 weeks or the 490 years are going to be cut up, okay? To fit in with the time of the Gentiles, and it's going to be consistent with the dreams and the visions that Nebuchadnezzar and that Daniel had in chapter 2, chapter 7, and chapter 9, and they're going to come to an end when Christ comes back the second time. So we are still in those 490 years. We are still in, you say, oh no, now just a minute, preacher, more than 490 years have elapsed since Daniel's been on the scene. It didn't say they were going to run consecutively. We are still in the 70 weeks. It's not going to end until Jesus comes back the second time. Okay? Okay, now, all right. This verse says there's going to be six things that happen in those 70 weeks of years. Okay? Notice what they say in that verse. Now, by the way, upon thy people, Daniel's people was the Israelites, the nation of Israel, and upon the holy city, that was Jerusalem. Okay? Here's what's going to happen. Number one, to finish the transgression. Now, the transgression of Israel. Jesus has come. He died on the cross. He gives everybody redemption if they'll come, redemption from sin, if they'll come to him. The nation of Israel rejected it. Today, Jews and Gentiles are on the same basis. They have to, everybody's a sinner. They have to come to Christ, and they are saved from the penalty of sin the same way. That does not mean that God is through dealing with Israel as a nation. He's not. God is still dealing with the nation of Israel. Okay? At the second coming of Christ, their transgressions will be finished. I'm going to read from the book of Zechariah. And I will pour upon the house of David and upon the inhabitants of Jerusalem the spirit of grace and of supplications. And they shall look upon me, whom they have pierced. And they shall mourn for him as one mourneth for his only son, and shall be in bitterness for him as one that is in bitterness for his firstborn. In that day there shall be a fountain open to the house of David and to the inhabitants of Jerusalem for sin and for uncleanness. So, in those 70 weeks, the transgressions, God will finish the transgressions of the nation of Israel. Number two, to make an end of sin. Okay? Now again, the national sin of Israel is going to come to end at the second coming of Christ. But the cure for sin was provided at his first coming. In the book of Ezekiel, neither shall they defile themselves anymore with their idols, nor with their detestable things, nor with any of their transgressions. But I will save them out of all their dwelling places wherein they have sinned, and will cleanse them, so they shall be my people, and I will be their God. And now from the book of Romans, and so all Israel shall be saved, as it is written, there shall come out of Zion the deliverer, and shall turn away ungodliness from Jacob, for this is my covenant unto them, when I shall take away their sins. Okay? So in that 490 years, finish the transgression, make an end of sin, and to make reconciliation for iniquity. Okay? Again, reconciliation comes through Christ. He's already made that reconciliation available to us. From the book of 2 Corinthians, and all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ, and hath given to us the ministry of reconciliation, to wit, that God was in Christ reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God did beseech you by us. We pray you in Christ's stead, be ye reconciled to God. So, in those 490 years, he's going to make reconciliation for iniquity. And to bring in everlasting righteousness, okay? That refers to when Christ is going to come and set up his kingdom. There'll be everlasting righteousness. Number five, to seal up the vision and prophecy. In other words, to fulfill the vision and the prophecy. Not only this one, but all the ones that have come before, okay? And that's what's going to happen in these 70 weeks. And to anoint the most holy. And again, we don't have time to get into this, but I think what God's talking about there is the anointing of the Holy of Holies in the temple where again, the Holy of Holies is going to become the Holy of Holies, where the presence of God is going to dwell in the reign of Christ. Going to reign from there. So, now, again, the 490 years are not consecutive. There's some breaks in them. Starting in verse 25, Gabriel breaks down for Daniel the divisions of the 490 years or the 70 weeks of years. And so next week we'll look at how they break down. All right, thank you for being here tonight. Men back here, Brother Don, is that where you guys will be praying? If any of the ladies want to pray, they're more than willing to, you can use this room here. But thank you for being here tonight. Let's stand and have a word of prayer and be dismissed.